that you're here. Amen. If we'd open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. Reading from verse 20. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. In Matthew 24, verse 37, but as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then I'd like to read from the Spoken Word's original seed, paragraph 40. The Baptists want to outdo the Methodists. The Methodists want to outdo the Lutherans. The Lutherans want to outdo the Catholic. There, everyone wants to outdo somebody. See, that's the spirit of the organization. Jesus said, but few there will be that will be saved. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way, but few there will be that find it. Just a few. If he said few, that's the word of God. That seed, there'll be a few. Won't be no tens of billions and billions. It's just be a few that'll find it. Them that's predestinated to it, they that hear it. The former rain has went forth now. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we come in reverence and godly fear tonight, knowing that there is coming a time when, as it was in the days of Noah, the doors of the ark were closed, and no one other than those predestinated to be in that ark will be there. Help us, dear Father, on that day to be numbered among those that you consider to be chosen a few, for we ask it humbly in the precious name of your elder son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, from Brother Branham's message called Queen of Sheba, he said, now God in all generations has always been, never been without a witness. He's always had a witness somewhere, though it's gotten down sometimes maybe to one person. But God has always and always will have a witness, somebody he can lay his hand on. And Jesus was his witness in that day. And his witness today is the Holy Spirit. God's the witness in the earth. Now we find that they was rejecting Jesus, and Jesus was speaking how that they rejected the other witnesses and predicted that they'd still reject it in the days to come. But there would be some that would receive it. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there will be that find it. Because broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many will go in thereat. So you see, Brother Branham, in all these quotes here that we're reading, and we're going to read many more, but I'm just entitling the message this evening, Just a Few. And I guess it's very appropriate, Just a Few. You'll find Brother Branham quotes that scripture quite often. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. We also find that what he's talking about is it's going to be a minority because it's always been that way. From his sermon, Queen of Sheba, Brother Branham said, all of Hartford won't be saved. There'll be millions of church members throughout the world who will just perish with the world. You know, you got to think about the look at all the people in the message, all the people in Pentecost, all the people that are Baptists, all the people that are in denomination, and they're all counting on a rapture to get them out of here. And they all see what's happening and what's coming down, and the world is just falling to pieces, and they're all praying for a rapture to get them out of here, but there's only going to be a handful. As it was in the days of Noah, wherein eight souls were saved. You know, we got eight here tonight. Just a type. All right. Notice, he says, there'll be millions of church members throughout the world will just perish with the world. Now remember that God has elected that some are going to be saved, and there's not enough power in hell to keep them from coming to Jesus. And God will manifest himself just the same. He's manifest himself. The whole world has had a chance, but they won't receive it. Jesus says so. Straight is the gate that leads to life. Broad is the way to destruction. And many there be that go in. And few there'll be that'll be saved. As it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. There is nothing that can break that because God said it. It's His Word, and His Word is just as eternal as He is. From faith is our victory, Brother Ram said, when you join church, you should first seek out and find out what that church stands for. Is it just merely a place that the people go together for fellowship? Or is it a place that that preaches the Word of God, Word of the Living God, and stands for every principle that Jesus died for. You should do that. Just don't float in and go with the tide, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth to life. But few there will be that go in thereat, because broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many will there be go in. We've got to have a purpose of something. Now, it wasn't so in the days gone by, or in the day that when a man of God to come, he had a purpose for doing it. If your purpose is just to drift with that congregation, or is it to look up toward God? And how many people are just drifting? They come to church, they kind of drift. They go with the tide. They go with the group, you know, the group think. From Hebrews 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Notice, by faith, by revelation, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear. So there is a certain fear that's a good thing. Luke 17:20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said unto them, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, he wasn't talking to those Christ-rejecting Pharisees as though the kingdom of God was in them. A lot of people say, well, the kingdom of God's in your heart. That's hogwash. It's not in your heart. He's in your midst. He says, within you, that word is entos. It means in the midst of you. You know, God himself has come down. The fullness of the Godhead is not in the church. He's amongst the bride. Neither shall they say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you, in entos, okay, in your midst. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part of heaven shineth unto the other part of heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married, they wives, they gave in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So it doesn't matter. Look, the fact is, you know, we've got a lot of people that take a lot of comfort in being in a big church. They say, well, you know what, all these people can't be wrong. Well, yes, they can. There was only 8 people. So, you know, and I'm just not talking to this little group here, but I'm talking about the little groups around the world. There may be only 6 or 7 of you. There may be 8 of you sitting there listening to this sermon here. But I want you to know one thing for certain. Brother Bram said that the next time he comes, he's not coming for the big church. He's coming for the little group. All right? And that's what he says here. That's what Luke says here. Even thus shall it be when the day that the Son of Man shall be revealed. Now, how was it in the days of Noah? Well, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. So we're going to have a pattern. Well, let's go back to the days of Noah to look. Now, in Genesis 6, verse 1, and it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be numbered, or shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, or following this, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And I repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. You know, we have, look, it says that every thought of man was evil continually. You know, I sit here and sometimes, you know, I tell you, there's so much evil out there, it's just continually. It's just like it was in the days of Noah. You know, you hear things like Nancy Pelosi says that, well, we don't need God, we need more legislation. Huh? What do you think has caused this country to go to the pits like it has? They've got probably 45, you know, gazillion laws on the books when they only need 10. 10 commandments. And Jesus said you can boil it down to 2. love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, all your spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's all we need in the books. Not, you know, 45 gazillion laws. These people are insane. And repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man from whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and these are the generations, this is the lineage of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his lineage. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked down upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Look at what's happening today. Just violence everywhere. Not just the Middle East, but it's everywhere. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories thou shalt make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee I have established my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Fowls, etc., etc. Okay. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so he did. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation. Now the question is then, what is righteous? Or what is righteousness? Well, the Bible says, he that doeth righteous is right. See? He that doeth righteousness is right. In other words, your actions are right. Your thoughts are right. From the message preparation, Brother Brown said, now God in the preparation, back when God was going to destroy the world, before he destroyed the world, he sent forth a preparation for the saving of people that desire to be saved. He always does it. He shows mercy before judgment. And if men spurn mercy, there's only one thing left, and that is judgment. And God don't judge you, you judge yourself. That's true. As long as you're under this spray of blood that's around the world, you have a right for mercy. God's. The blood of Christ keeps God from killing you, or he'd kill you just as soon as you sin. But that's still now holding God from you, from your death. You are a free moral agent now. But when you die and your spirit goes beyond that, then you're already judged. You don't have to wait for judgment. You're judged already. God done said, the day you eat thereof, the day you die. And that settles it. Then when God sent forth Noah to preach, wasn't it strange? Never had rained. No water was only but beneath the earth. And an old man come out on the scene, and an old holy roller with a beard hanging down like this, and got him a hammer and began to build an ark, a boat. Could you imagine the people down in the city talking about it? Why, they say, hey, what do you think about that rain story that old guy is telling up there? But he had the will of God, and he knowed where he was. And no matter what the world, how ridiculous it seemed to the world, God had a man he could put his hand on, and he built the ark. The people laughed at him. That didn't stop him. He just built right on ahead. And anyway, that really, and any man that knows the divine will of God is born again. They could call you a holy roller, a fanatic, whatever they want to. You'll build right ahead on that ark. It doesn't make a bit of difference. That's right. You get ready for it. Now, I can see that the time that Noah said that there's going to come a storm, the rains are, and how is it going to be done? I don't know why it never did do it. And they were so they were much better scientists than we have today. Go down in Egypt, look at the pyramids sitting in the middle of the earth. No matter where the sun is, there's geographically, it's in the center of the earth. There's never a shadow around it, no matter where the sun is. How did they do that? And these buildings, at least two city blocks high, that weigh a billion tons, how they get up, get them up there, produce something now that'll lift them up there, they can't do it. They can't make mummies today as they did in them days with the body. They can't embalm like they did. None of those things. They were smarter, really, than they are today. And you know they laughed at the man that stood up there building the ark and saying that it was going to rain, but it rained anyhow. You know, it really just boggles my mind, the ignorance that we have today, you know, even in this message. You know, Brother Branham was mentioning here, you know, the pyramid is made such that there's never, you know, a shadow. And I've heard it even mentioned in books and stuff like this. And you know, these boys in Russia, in the Ukraine, were actually making fun of that. They said, you know, how ridiculous that was to say that. And that, you know, could you think that was the words of God that was saying that? And then, of course, they said, well, see, they said, if because I wrote back to them, I said, and this is a few weeks ago, a couple weeks ago. But anyway, I wrote back and I said, well, I said, you know, Brother Branham said that Joseph was a prophet. And I said, who are you to challenge a vindicated prophet? And they said, well, if William Branham said that, then he's not a prophet of God. So these people are cutting their throat. They think that they got their Bible so they know. And they can tell you where Brother Branham's wrong and where he's right. These people are lost. Oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe all, A-double-L, all what the prophets have said. So Brother Branham goes on, he says, I can just imagine. Let's look at this just a moment. God was preparing Noah's preaching, and the first thing you know, why one day there come a thunder, and I hear someone say, oh, a blast went off somewhere, but a cloud began to rise. Now, I can see the great big polyparrot sitting out there looking over to the mother polyparrot and say, Mother, that's what Noah said. I can see the little monkeys drop the cone there and say, come on, Mammy, we're headed for the ark. The old camel eat and say, come on, let's go. Two by two, they went into the ark. They were led by the Holy Spirit. It goes to show that man hasn't got the gumption of a wild animal sometimes. That's right. Those wild animals heard the sound and took the warning of God by the Holy Spirit and went to safety. And today man hears the sound of the coming of the Son of God and rejects and refuses to hear it. Amen. You know, that's the truth. But God preparing seems ridiculous. I can hear someone say, well, if it does rain, I'll get on me a big poplar log and I'll ride it. But the big poplar log sunk. And so will every poplar log sink when Jesus Christ returns. Everything that's not in the body of Christ will be left here. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus never asked this, will I find righteousness? Will I find people that's living goodness and righteousness? Is that what Jesus said? Will I find faith when I return? Will I find somebody, oh, they say, I got faith. Well, faith without works is dead. Will I find somebody who will stand at my word and say every word's right? I'm not scared whether this one says so or that's so or nothing. I believe in God, and I'm accepting it and standing right there on it. That's the thing. God is preparing a church today to be saved, just as it was in the days of Noah and the ark. And the body of Christ today is that ark. Why, you say, we all believe that. If I asked you how'd I get across the Ohio River here, you'd say, by the bridge. That's right. Everybody say, by faith are you saved. Christ is the way. That's right. Christ is the way. But how do you get to Christ? Now, there's his body, the Bible said, not by one letter, not by one's confession, not by one's profession, but by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, into the body of Christ, which has already been judged, and we're free from judgment. We're just as sure as God raised his body from the grave, the church will go up just as he did, all that are in Christ Jesus, amen. So we see Brother Branham saying, now look, if you're outside of that body, if you have not been born again, baptized by the Holy Ghost. And a lot of people say, well, I've been baptized by the Holy Ghost. Have you? What's your evidence? Tongues? Your evidence is wrong. Now, I'd like to examine the days of Noah for a moment this evening. Because after all, God told us that as it was then, so will it be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. And I do believe with all that is within me that we are now living in the days when the Son of Man has come down and has been revealed. Then what does that leave but one thing, and that's destruction. Notice that Jesus tells us of that day. He lays out the attitude of the people in that way that there's no mistaking what their days were like. In Matthew 24, verse 37, he says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah that were before the flood. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now notice they were eating and drinking, daily life was good. Their needs were being met. They had food to eat and things to drink. And they were planning, marriages and weddings and all sorts of things. They were so caught up into that everyday life that they failed to recognize the impending judgment until it was too late and the rains had already started. In Luke 17, Jesus said, verse 28, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, and notice, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. A lot of thought was going on as to the next generation coming forth. That's why they built. That's why they married. You see? And that's why they planted the next season. See? The next year they builded. The next generation they married and gave in marriage. Planning futures, families. And because they were so wrapped up in everyday living, they failed to take heed of the message that said that this is it. This is the end of all of it. There will be no tomorrow as you know it. So get ready and prepare for getting out of here before God's judgment strikes the earth. But would they listen? Would they become serious about this being the end time? No, they didn't have time to worry about that. Besides that, what were the odds of one man being right in the face of such scientific evidence that said contrary to his message? The scientists disagreed with this man, and if the scientists disagreed, then so did the teachers who taught the students science, and so did the students who listened to the teachers, and therefore by rejecting this man, they did not realize they were rejecting God and his message, because it was not Noah's message, he was just the messenger. He was a messenger bearing a message, and the message was from God. Again, in 2 Peter 2 and 4, it says, and if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that afterward should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing it, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So we're looking at the thoughts of Noah now. Noah, the word Noah means rest. And Noah was a tenth descendant from Adam in the line of Seth, and he was a son of Lamech, and he was a grandson of Methuselah. And we hear nothing of Noah until he was 500 years old, when it said that he begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. In consequence of the grievance and hopeless world, or wickedness of the world at his time, God resolved that he was going to destroy the world. Of Noah's life during this age of almost universal apostasy, we are told but little. It is merely said that he was a righteous man and perfect in his generation, or perfect in his lineage, among his contemporaries, and that he, like Enoch, walked with God. Peter calls him a preacher of righteousness, 2 Peter 2 and 5. Besides this, we're merely told that he had three sons, each of whom had married a wife, that he built the ark in accordance with divine direction, and that he was 600 years old when the worldwide flood came, and in Genesis 6 and 7, he lived about 350 years after the flood. Now, the times of Noah were degenerate, and this finds pathetic expression in the words of Lamech, at the time of Noah's birth. In Genesis 5 and 28 it says, and Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and our toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. Now notice, Lamech lived 595 years after the birth of Noah. And Noah did not enter the ark until 5 years later, after the death of his father. All of Noah's brothers and sisters intermarried with the sons and daughters of man. They were all lost, by the way, in the great flood. In Genesis 6 and verse 1, and it came to pass that men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took unto them wives of all which they chose. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his lineage, and Noah walked with God. Now, Noah was a just man. The Hebrew word is tzadiah. It's pronounced, and it means just or righteous in conduct and character. Righteous as justified and vindicated by God. The only way that he could be justified is if he was with God to begin with, and the life in him was Lamb life. Now Paul says in Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So we see that it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be when the days of the Son of Man is revealed. From the greatest gift in the Bible, Brother Branham said, now, brother, I'll tell you now, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and dim is the trail that leads to life. But few that'll find it. Don't go with the crowd. Go with Christ. Again, from a certain sound, he said, there's where so many people today is going to be so terribly disappointed at the day of judgment. To know that they've lived in church, to know that they have done good deeds, to know that they have treated their neighbor right, to know that they have been loyal to the people, loyal to the church, and in their mind have believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be condemned at the day of judgment. Jesus said, many are called, and few are chosen. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the path that leads to life, and few there will be that will find it. Few. Didn't say a lot. Few. From Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he said there's thousands today that would reject it if it was right before them. Millions would reject it. God already said that they would, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way, but few there will be that'll find it. So Brother Brown keeps coming back to this verse of Scripture and saying, look, if God said there will be few, there's going to be few. From the seal of God, Brother Brown said, be honest, be sincere, come down and talk to him face to face with a brother. He will reveal to you. He will tell you, he'll tear your soul apart and lay it out there and say, Lord Jesus, if it costs me my family, if it costs me my life, if it costs me my job, if it costs me my membership, if it costs my prestige in the city, I'll take the way with the Lord's despised few. Now remember, Jesus said, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there will be that find it. For broad is the way that leads to destruction, a million more in 54, you see. Broad is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. That's right. He that will lose his life for my sake shall find it. He that loves father, mother, sister, brother, or anything better than me is not worthy to be called my disciple. He will put his he that puts his hand to the plow and starts forward and even turns to look back is not worthy of the plowing. He's not worthy of me, brother, Jesus said. From expectation, Brother Ram says, sometimes the church has got to a place to just a very few left believers that are left. But God has always had a remnant of people somewhere who would believe him. Did you know that? Look at the antediluvian world. There was just a few. Noah, his sons, his daughters-in-law, and his wife. There was all went into the ark. Is that right? Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, but few there will be that will find it. O Christian, make yourself one of the few. You have an invitation. Just move on. As it was in the days of Noah, look at the morality. Eat, drink, be merry, and giving in marriage, and knew it not till the day that Noah entered the ark. Be one of them that goes in. Pray for me that I'll be with you. I want to be. I sure want to be. That's my heart's desire, to go in that day with you, with you all, to be represented. And from Matthew 7:13, enter ye in at the gate, at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that will go therein thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there will be that find it. Those are the words of Jesus. Now, from who do you say this is, Brother Bram said, there will be just a very few that will ever know about it. That's right, just a very few. It always was that way. So when the voice, when the shout moves into voice, you think there's going to be as many people as was in the shout? Now come on, a lot of people heard the shout. How many do you think is going to hear the voice? From why it had to be shepherds, he said, no wonder, he said. Remember, look, the wise version and the foolish version both heard the midnight cry, but only half of them went in. Five. From why it had to be shepherds, said, no wonder, as he said, as it was in the days of Noah, when eight souls were saved by water, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. See, very few. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there will be that will find it. That's right. Because broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many will go in thereat. And from the presence of God and recognized, Brother Branham said, it comes in and it goes out, and people does not recognize it until it's passed. And they, and because that it never fits their theology, it never fits the time of the day. You see what it is? They're always living in the glare of another age, always. The reason they didn't accept Jesus, because they were living in the glare of another of the law. And when Jesus come, and was not contrary to the law, but come to fulfill the law, well, they couldn't accept him because his message wasn't exactly the way that that they had it all created out. And it was called then, traditions. And he didn't come according to their traditions. He didn't keep their traditions. And really, he upset it and he tore it up. And he done things that was contrary to it, insomuch that they thought that he was breaking up the churches. And they couldn't receive him because of his message. And we all know today that he come exactly in the line of God's prophecy, but they didn't know it then. And it could happen again, and we wouldn't know it. I imagine if he'd actually appear tonight, it would be so contrary to what we've got all figured out in our charts and in our schools and things, it'd be a very few would recognize what was going on. He said it would be that way, that's how he would come. And from a church, a man that can turn on the light, he said, when a man tells me that the Holy Ghost falling in them, the Holy Ghost in them will deny the Word of God being so, there's something wrong in that. There's something wrong with our seminaries and so forth when they teach men all this here brainwashed theology and stuff of today. Them men would done the same against the Word of God and leading them right into that ecumenical slaughter down there. Why, certainly it's wrong. I speak that in the name of the Lord. You watch and see if it isn't true. The light, the light of the hour. Those cold creeds can never bring a harvest. We've got to have a church that's washed in the blood of the Lamb and become one with the Word, be the church. Church glares of this day. Jesus said, very deceiving, almost the elected, if it were possible, just the elected. But as it was in the days of Noah, wherein eight souls were saved, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Very, very few will be saved at that time. From God's gifts always find their place. He said, we got people that's just as loyal, nice people, genuine people. But you see, in that, there's going to be something come forth that God's always done to identify this day. This is the day when these things are spoken to happen. There won't be many, just a very, very few that'll be saved. The Bible says so. There'll be just a handful. And from perseverance, he said, the first thing you know, you're going to say, why, I thought there was supposed to be a rapture before the tribulation. The tribulation is going to strike. And wouldn't it be awful if you heard her say, I've already been, it's already been, and you didn't know it? There'll be one in the field. I'll take one and leave one. Just somebody come up missing. There'll just be a very, very few in that rapture that'll be changed. The sleeping bride, the bride that's been taken through the age, she's come forth first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them, just one here, one there, and one over there. And from, sirs, is this the time? He said, it taken a prophet. The Bible said that he would be here. That's right, Malachi 4 speaks that he'll be here, and we believe that he will. And we're looking for him, and we're looking for his manifestation, and we'll see the vindicated word of God. There'll just be a few who understand it. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. What was saved? Five souls. In the days of Lot, there was actually three saved. The wife started out and lost. So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. There'll be very few saved, translated in that time. One of the mysteries of the church being taken up, like Lot was taken out, Noah was taken up, and the church will be taken up also. One went in and one went out, and the other one goes up. See, it's exactly perfectly. The word comes. Now notice, eight in Noah's day, three in Lot's day. From Jehovah Jireh, part 3. Let the Lord, if the word's in you, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, then ask what you will. The Holy Spirit, you abide in me and my word abides in you. That's the word made flesh. Ask what you will and it'll be done. That's the way. Get all the creed and all things away and hold to the word because it is Christ. Notice, then it will manifest itself. Someone said, well, Brother Ram, how do you know these things? These what you see here in the meeting is amateur things. Anybody that travels with the meetings here, you know, the Holy Spirit reveals things that comes weeks and months between times and ask anybody if it ever failed one time. It can't fail. See? How do you know it? It's because it's a promise of the Word, and the hour is here. It's got to come to pass. Now, I don't know, but there'll be very few, a minority, will believe it. But it's got to go forth just the same. And did you ever notice it goes right over the heads of the people and it passed and done before they recognize it? Always that way. And from oneness, he said, the seeing of this world council of churches is nothing else in the world but a stir of the foolish virgin to be left here on the earth for the picking of the, for the Antichrist. But the real church of God will float like old Noah did and go on into glory just as sure as I'm standing here. That's why he's gathering them together. That's what the voice is speaking forward today. That's what God's doing, is gathering one from Los Angeles, one from Philadelphia, one from Georgia, and so forth, gathering them together. His people that's willing to believe the word of the living God, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man, wherein a few were saved, just a very few. All right? Our Holy Ghost ark will float right above the judgment of God, because we're already judged as we confess Jesus and He took our judgment. That's why I keep saying, look, get yourself ready. Quit this being a woman, you women. I'm serious. There is no male or female in Christ, so you have no excuse. Get off the emotional track and learn to speak to one another in a godly way, and realize that when you're talking to that sister, she's Jesus' sister. She's God's daughter. And when you're talking to your mother, that's God's daughter. And that's your sister in the Lord. You understand? In other words, start focusing like the judge is here, because he is here, and you're standing in the courtroom, and you're going to talk the way you talk sometimes in the court of God when the judge is standing. David said, I've set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. And my flesh shall rest in hope. You ought to be at peace, not looking to start fusses, at peace with one another and have peace with God. From perfect strength, Brother Ann said, O Father, that day is near. That's the ending up of those 70 weeks, and the time is at hand, Lord. O God, may the voice of the true prophet of God cry out against the modern lady of the day, this modern church theology. Shake these preachers, that's afraid to say the truth. O God, take these men and shake them like never before. Make them ashamed of themselves. But we know this one thing and can rest with full confidence that no man will come except the Father draws him. And all the Father has given him will come. They'll reach just as far as you intended to reach. But you said, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good will to give you the kingdom. We know that's true. You warned us all along that there'd be just a very few that would be ready when that time comes. Then there'd be a great resurrection, and all the redeemed that has been redeemed throughout the ages would rise. But in the last day, just at the end time, there the church would be certainly in the minority. So we see that, Father. We see the message of the day. We see the rejecting of it. We see the disassociations. We see all of these things. You find your people confess that they're nothing. They just want to be filled with you, Lord. Now I pray that you'll shake the world with them just a few days before the coming of the Lord. Now, it's like I mentioned, the man wrote to Brother Branham. And he said, Brother Branham, he said, I'm married, have three children. My wife's not a believer. She gives me a hard time. I'd like to divorce her and marry the sister in the church. She's a good, godly sister. Brother Brown said, if you do that, and if you marry that woman, you will go to hell. Not only will you go to hell, but you will take her to hell. And not only will you take her to hell, but any children born from you will go to hell. And you know what the man did? He went ahead and divorced his wife and married this other woman. There is no excuse. It's like I've said many times, that how many... You know, why does the Church of God so passive when it comes to divorce and adultery? Because of divorce and remarrying. When is adultery no longer adultery? After a week of marriage? After 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, 30 years? It's still adultery! And people think they're getting ready for the harvest. Getting ready for the rapture. They're fussing in Haiti over whether polygamy is okay or not. I said, listen, brother, What's their motive for wanting another wife? It's sex. It's pure and simple. It's lust. And the Bible says when lust shall conceive, it brings forth death. I said, get your focus straight. We're getting ready to go home, not getting ready to populate the world. I can't believe the nonsense that goes on in the name of this message. From Jehovah Jireh, Brother Branham said, one of the most pathetic things that I've ever seen in the Bible, the Bible predicting, was this church age. This is the most horrible church age of all the church ages, every church age. Watch Revelations in the Laodicean, the Pentecostal church age, that Christ has been ruled out of his own church, standing on the outside, knocking, trying to get back into his own church. Now, it looked like a call to sinners, but that's a church age, the Laodicean age. He'd been ruled out by the organization and things. They put him on the outside. And they took up the things of the world, and he said, I stand at the door and knock. Of his own church, not another age did it, but this age. So you see where we're standing. Any true good spiritual mind can catch that and pick it up and go with it, you see, because you see where it's at. A very, very few of this age will be taken as we know it. Many people are looking for a great growth outpouring and things. And just remember, mark it in your Bibles. You will not see it. That's thus saith the Lord. See, you'll not see it. And it's in the church age is ending now. This is the hour. She's just about finished. And God's pulling his church. And he's predicted that Laodicean lukewarm enough to spew out of his mouth. And that's just exactly the age we're living in. Everything hanging just right for the end time and everything else. And we see the church in that condition, slumpy, lukewarm enough to, and well, it looks very nice, pretty good. Maybe I'll come back at the end of the week again. See, there it is. That's the attitude of the church. It's all that time that God picks one here and there, and one in the field and so forth to take. So as we see we're approaching that age, let's settle ourselves on God's Word. Get on with God's Word, God's Spirit in His Word, and let's become lively stones built up in the house of the living God. Where are we at? This is Laodicea. What is it? It's laxed, drifting like Ephesus. So lukewarm that this is the only age, the only church age that God said, I'll spew it out of my mouth. Men that are immoral in the pulpits. Men immoral in the pews. Not living for God. You go back and look at the days of Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, men who got up at 6 o'clock every morning, spent an hour on their knees before God, reading their Bible and praying. Then before they went to bed at night, they did the same thing again. Focusing. Where are we at today? You can't even honestly sing Sweet Hour of Prayer. Or you'll be lying when you sing it. Huh? Well, let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we come reverently, Lord, and humbly before you, knowing that you're the great judge and you're standing in our midst. And the people continue to go on in any way they feel led to go on. Not led to go on. Anyway, they just, the lust of their body is leading them. Men wanting to run after polygamy in such a late hour. I can't believe it, Father, but this is the wickedness that was in the days of Noah, and it's repeated in this day. Help us, Father, to be so sanctified, set aside for service. Help us to be so consecrated to Thee, O God. Help us to be on fire for Thee, O Father. We just ask that You'd help us, Lord, to be counted among that number that You come for. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace. And give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you.
and give thee peace. And